The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 145. I'm your host, Tony Polanco. Tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
You got it right this time, right?
Yes. Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
What up, what up?
Brett Murdoch.
What's up?
And Adam Vale.
What up, what up, what up?
Yo, yo, this is your Dunkin' Donuts tonight, boy.
That's it. America alive.
You know, yo, they don't have those shits in the West Coast, I heard.
There are very few of them. I have a friend out in the West Coast in the Bay Area, and he's like, yeah, they just opened a Dunkin' Donuts over here. Mind you, that he actually grew up on the East Coast. So, like, there were he said at the time when he was trying to go there, there's just, like, these huge lines all the way around the corner. And I'm like, damn. For a Dunkin' Donuts?
Well, there's only, like, two or three around here, too. So they're not everywhere. But, York, they're everywhere.
But you know, he's like, at some point, it just kind of all wore down. And then he's like, now you can get in real easy.
Yeah, because, you know, people were hyped about it. But then it's like, oh, yeah, man, it's not that good.
It's mediocre coffee. You know, it does the job.
Yeah, it does the job.
The donuts and shit. By the way, no Brian, actually. He went to a screening for something tonight. What was it again?
Shin Godzilla.
Ah, yes. Shin Godzilla. You know.
So wait. A screening for it? Wait, didn't that movie just come out already?
It came out a while ago.
Yeah, but in England, it's like they're only having like one screening at this one theater because I think the movie's out on Blu-ray now or something, so they're having special screenings or something, you know?
Okay. It's one of those.
Shin Godzilla. But I saw a stupid headline saying, by the way, I liked the movie, don't get me wrong, but they said Shin Godzilla is the Dunkirk of Godzilla movies. What the fuck does that even mean?
I don't know.
Have you ever heard of the movie Dunkirk?
Yeah, but no, what?
Yeah, how Dunkirk, good is Dunkirk, it? Dunkirk is the Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah.
The art style, I haven't seen it.
You know, I don't know. If anything, it's just making fun of all the earthquake, the ineptitude of the earthquake prevention force.
Pretty
or whatever.
Much. That's what that new Godzilla movie really was like. Yeah, our government's kind of fucked up. They don't know how to handle this shit. You know, that's why the movie was awesome. Anyway, another kind of light show. Hey, what's going on, Vishal? You know, he says, what's up, Tony and Carlos? What about the rest of us, man?
Yeah, what about that? Tony and Carlos.
Oh, shit. We got Dana joining us in the chat room. Hello, Dana.
Hello, Dana.
Of the WrestleCast.
I know Dana from Craigslist.
What? You're crazy, bro. All right, man, let's do this shit. So tonight we're gonna talk about Hellblade, baby. This game came out earlier this week. I think Brett and I have been playing. Has anybody else played this shit yet?
No,
I haven't had the chance to play.
Lost interest.
Adam, you never had interest though.
Have some interest when I found out I was gonna do the whole mental illness and the manhunt. When you have the headset on and you can hear voices and shit. But then I heard about the gameplay and stuff. I'm like, what the fuck? Forget it.
Nah, you just heard they didn't have multiplayer, so you cut out.
You and this multiplayer. Co-op isn't multiplayer. Holy shit. Co-op is not multiplayer.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But yeah, let's get into it, man, because this is another Ninja Theory game, right? To me, these guys are batting 1,000. I guess that's the proper term. Heavenly Sword was fucking awesome. And Slade was fucking awesome. DMC was fucking awesome. So I was naturally hyped for this. I haven't finished the game yet, but through the first half of the game, I'm like, yeah, this game's cool, but I don't know about it. And I just hit a point, I'm like, this game's fucking crazy, you know? So I'm digging it right now. But Brett, I'm kind of going to just throw this most at you because you were really like looking forward to this for a variety of reasons. And you finished the game and you love it for the most part, right?
Yeah, I was actually quite impressed by it.
Give us your impressions without spoiling anything, obviously.
It's a really hard game to quantify, and I realize now why it was so vague in all the trailers and everything like that. It's it's part hack and slash. And I know people use this a lot, but it's kind of like Dark Souls combat meets Witcher combat. Yeah, I'll throw Dark Souls out there, but I'm not going to give it. It has the same thing in mind of like you have a strong attack, a light attack, you have a dodge, you have a parry. So it's a bit more reactive than The Witcher is, but it's not quite as reactive as Dark Souls is. But it still has the idea of, you know, dodging and timing and paying a lot of attention to your space. So it really shines as a Ninja Theory game. Like, their combat experience really shows probably through the last 15% of the game. At a certain point where they start throwing more enemies at you and you start dodging through several enemies at a time, several attacks at a time. I also really liked the story. I finished it just a couple of hours ago, so I'm still kind of mentally unpacking what I saw, but it reminds me a lot of God of War. It's kind of the same idea where you're venturing into the realm of gods to essentially murder them. One of the things that really interests me about it was the whole psychosis aspect, which is weird because it's right next to a story. You have a protagonist who can't necessarily discern reality from not reality. But at the same time, she's venturing into hell. So it's really difficult to tell what's actually real and what's not real because you have a suspended disbelief to begin with. Like, at first you're like, okay, well, I can't literally be going to hell, and these can't literally be arms hanging out of the wall or blah de blah. But a lot of it sounds real. Like, even when Tony was telling me, like, oh, she really has powers, I was like, eh, maybe it just kind of seems like she thinks she has powers. No, she has some kind of powers. So it strikes me, if I had to try and put it in a nutshell, is she's like a sort of shaman, like a Celtic kind of shaman who's supposed to be a medium between worlds and help to guide people, but she's infected by this darkness. And this darkness is literally the embodiment of mental sickness taking its toll on her. But it is overlaying a kind of spiritual seer thing that it doesn't really explain entirely well. So you're kind of left with, she has some sort of gift, and it was given to her by her mother, who was also blessed. And so they were healers or shaman or something. They could, you know, commune with nature, and then this thing was corrupted by this darkness. So the whole goddamn game is in this very vague middle of the road thing. And honestly, the psychosis aspect doesn't play as big a part as you would think that it does, because in games where you're traveling between dimensions and killing demigods and, you know, a la Dark Souls, like, nothing is really out of bounds. So,
are you playing with a headset?
Am I playing with a headset?
Because I remember they said that you hear more of the voices. There's multiple voices at one time, and you'll hear them all with the headset. You won't hear that at them all. I mean, you won't hear them all if you're just listening to the speaker.
If you crank up the volume, I actually preferred it without headsets when I cranked up the volume, because a lot of the voices in the headset, they come through only on one ear, and I found that to get mildly annoying after a little bit. And I have a pretty decent sound bar that has surround sound, so when I did that, like, it actually made it sound more. Some voices were more ambient, some were closer to you, whereas some were further in the back. And I think that actually enhanced my experience more than having something speaking in one ear. And that's probably just a learned behavior, because I remember gaming a lot, and when I PC game, I'll have my even actually right now, I have my headphone over one ear so I can pay attention to the surroundings. I can hear if the dogs or the cats are get into a kerfuffle, or it used to be so I could talk with anybody around me. So it's probably my own doing, but I didn't like the a voice from the left ear and a voice from the right ear. I get what they're doing and they're stimulating parts of the brain, but I liked some voices to be quiet and some voices to be pronounced, some voices to sound far away. So I preferred a good surround sound setup myself.
Yeah, it's probably the better way to go, because the way they recorded some of that stuff is like they would have people close to the mic in some respects, then them further away from the mic. So you get like a nice kind of like diversity of the actual sound, you know, like some folks are closer than others and stuff. So that was pretty cool. Now I just heard it through my regular speakers, through my TV. It sounded fine. I can imagine if you had like a stereo headset, it'd be cool.
The thing that they were saying, and that's why I was comparing with Manhunt, it's not so much of that it wasn't going to sound great or whatever. It was that you hear additional audio. And that was Manhunt. Because remember Manhunt, the crazy dude? Oh, yeah,
Manhunt had some additional stuff, but Hellblade doesn't have exactly the additional voice stuff, but it does, the way they recorded it, especially a lot of the inner voices that you hear in the game, they recorded it with a special microphone that gives you the sense that that people might be behind you or beside you. So it's like, in other words, you know, you hear like whispers like this, and it's like, it sounds like it's right next to you, which the crazy microphone that they had is, it literally looks like two ears.
Oh, really?
These two ears, and it recreates the essentially, because, you know, what you don't officially have three, you can't hear in, you know, 3D sound. You only know things are behind you by the sound that it sounds like from behind you.
Yeah.
So that's what that thing does, is it recreates those sorts of noises from different sides of you, which your brain already kind of knows, okay, this is behind you place, this is in front of you place.
Yeah.
Which it was pretty cool, but I don't know if, Tony, if you played with any of the headphones on. A lot of times that just meant it sounded like somebody was whispering in your ear, and so it only kind of came across on one side. So, like, yeah, it sounded like there were some voices in your right and some voices in your left, but almost, I think, kind of backfired, because even if somebody's whispering in your left ear, you pick up slight reverberations in your right, and I wasn't getting any of that. And I cranked my mic all the way up, or my headset all the way up, because I was trying to get everything.
I didn't experience that. It, like, again, I was just hearing it through stereo, and it sounded like it's supposed to. Like, some sounds are behind you, some are in front of you, some are whatever, you know.
Yeah, but you didn't play with headphones, did you?
No, I don't, you know. Again, I don't like being cut off from the world like that, so I don't really play with headphones like that. Even now, look how I have my headphones. I have one ear here, you know.
I usually do headphones because I'm usually playing.
Right, very, so what about night. Because one of the things I saw a dev video, and he was talking about that, that the voices aren't just trying to creep you out, that they'll actually help you with puzzles.
It's kind of interesting. Let me jump in, because this is what I find interesting. Not only do they help you, but they also try to fuck with you at the same time. You know, it's like, oh, you can't do it, you can't do that. Like, no, you can do it, you can do that. You know, and it seems to me like the more helpful voices are a little bit louder. You know, but yeah, every time I feel like I was getting lost. Yeah, like I felt like I was. Did I ever hear a TV in the background? What the fuck was that?
Jesse yawning.
So, like, every time I felt like I was getting lost, they were like, "Oh, why don't you go to the left? Go to the left." You know, even during battles, they're like, "Dodge," and it'll be like the perfect timing. You know, behind you, shit like that. So,
I have to say, this is This is a companion cube kind of event. By the end of the game, I felt like the voices were my friend. Like, I had learned to which ones to trust and which ones not to trust, and I learned their different personalities. So a lot of times they're like, "I don't want to die, run! I don't want to die," and you, like, as one of the other voices, have to be like, "It's fine, calm down, this is going to be okay." And, like, yeah, especially towards the end, I would rely on when they're like, "Behind you," and then you dodge out of the way, and you're like, "Thanks, voices," kind of, you know, give a salute and run back into battle. You're like, "You're the best, voices." Gun fingers.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like, I felt like the negative voices were like me, right? Like, oh, I can't do that. And then the positive voices were the game's like, "You could do that shit. Come on, man, go ahead." You know.
Also,
I like that.
Have you like? There are several. Like, there's the quiet female voices. Like, and there's like three or four of them, and those seem to be Senua's inner monologue.
Yeah.
And then there's you, which actually joined the game as one of the voices following Senua. And so there's about three or four voices that are internal monologue. There's the narrator voice, the one that tells her story, which she is hearing. There's you. And then there's the deep craggly voice. Yeah. And that comes in later, Tony. You find out that's actually...
Don't spoil it.
No, I'm not saying anything. It's just, it's a very specific entity. And yeah. it was brought in by a very specific event.
Oh, actually, I think I know what you're talking about. I actually kind of felt like, oh shit, that's who it is. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, somebody on Twitter is trying to fuck with me, throwing pineapples in my face. What is wrong with you people? Okay, this is the other thing I'm going to talk about, because it's interesting, because this game's very heavily into Norse mythology, Celtic shit. I love that. But at the same time, when I'm playing it, it weirdly reminded me of Greek shit, like specifically the Odyssey, like the shit Odysseus kind of has to go through, or even what's his face, the guy who has to go through the maze with the Minotaur. Like, there's a point like that. You have to go through this weird maze. I'm like, this feels like that Minotaur story, you know? And also Dante's Inferno, where you're kind of trying to go into hell. It has all those aspects in there. Go ahead, dude.
I mean, a lot of those stories are just kind of repeats of stories that have been passed down. So, I mean, there would definitely probably be similarities between certain stories. You know, whoever hears these stories may adapt it and rework it. So it probably does, you know, some Norse stuff does sound very familiar to Greek mythology as well.
Yeah, so I find that pretty cool, the whole journey aspect of it. By the way, I need to quickly bring this up, right? Because, you know, Jim Sterling... he initially gave the game a 1 out of 10 because there's this one part where you go through that exact maze and he didn't have his torch with him, right? And he was like, oh, I didn't pick up the torch. Blah, blah. I'm like, how did he pull that off? Because that was a cinema. She literally grabs the torch. So I'm like, did he experience a legit glitch? Because in my game, I wasn't even touching the controller. She just grabbed the torch and goes inside, you know, but in his game, she just walked straight in. Then the game auto-saved. He didn't have the torch and it was all fucked up, you know? So I found that very odd. I'm like, dude, she just picked up the torch on her own. What are you talking about? He did retract the review, by the way, because that review brought the Metacritic score down by 9 points. People were pissed, you know? So that's pretty interesting.
Wait, he retracted it, but what led him to retract it? Did he actually play the game again and then he got the thing that he was missing?
Well, he felt that he gave that score out of anger. You know, that's what he said. So he just, you know,
Did it break the game for him at that point? Like, yeah, he did go through that chapter without the.
You can't. Torch? You need the torch for that part. You cannot.
Oh, well, then advance. This is justified. There's a game. There's a bug breaking game.
Yeah. Or yeah.
I had to pick it up.
Really, in my game, she just snatched it up on her own. You know, very interesting. All right, what is that sound, by the way?
That's the throwdown crickets.
Throwdown crickets. We're back. All right, go ahead, Manny.
Here's the thing. I mean, you know, I don't know if this is part of it, but maybe there is some. Maybe there's some things that have to do with the way you might be playing the game too. Who knows?
Maybe I can't, you know, speak for the man. I left everything just automatic. All right, I do want to ask you guys a couple of things about the game, specifically because this is an independent game, right? Don't look like one. You know, it looks very, very high budget.
An independent game. Well, yeah, this is an independent game, but it isn't. This is a double A game, and that's an important distinction to make for people, because this is a triple A developer who is just cutting out the publisher, and in doing so, they were able to create a different kind of game. And that's
right. Thing. You kind of just jumped to the other point I was going to make before that. But, you know, fucking. So do you think a game like this could potentially bring back the double A game?
I would like it to.
I guess something that needs to find to a lot of people is basically a game can be considered an indie game as long as it's not funded by a publisher. So there is a large room for, and there used to be companies, and actually it was kind of refreshing to see when the title screen popped up, you know, it kind of had the old school feel of like, oh, here's six different companies on one place card, because there's a lot of people that, you know, invested or helped with this game. But then it made me realize that you haven't seen this in years, but it is something that if you're an old enough gamer will be familiar to you, where you didn't have this big publishing company pumping money into the game, so it doesn't have this high of a budget, but you're also still getting a game. So I need to make the distinction between developer and publisher. And when you combine the two, like when you kind of average out their ratings, is where you get your A, double A, triple A rating. So in this instance, you have a triple A publisher who, or a triple A developer who released with a no publisher. So that's zero. And so it kind of just evens out to, yeah, it's kind of a double A game. So that.
My bad. I was muted. Their whole goal was like, we want to, this is what they exactly said. They said, we want to make an independent game with triple A production values. And they definitely deliver that.
Yeah. Well, they actually made the distinction too of saying when they wanted to make it an indie game by cutting out the publisher. And this was a very specific move because they said they wanted to make a different kind of game and the kind of game that they wouldn't be able to make if they actually had to answer to a publisher. And that was in terms of a lot of the creative direction the game went. And yes, the game is highly disturbing, somewhat controversial, although not like, you know, going to be a hot button issue, but like, you know, existentially controversial. Like, you're not sure how you feel about it. I'll be honest, even after the game's over, I'm still unpacking it. So I absolutely agree that this is not the kind of game that would be allowed out the doors if, say, EA had anything to do with this. So
there's also some form of expectation that comes with being with specific publishers. You know, if they were with somebody like an EA, there is a certain caliber of game that you expect from EA. You know, granted, they do have different titles, but there's certain, it's just a certain thing that you would kind of, that comes with being EA or with any other big publisher. You know, if they went with Capcom, again, it'd be one of those kind of situations where it's like, okay, is this a sort of Capcom game? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, with them putting it out on their own, they kind of live and die by their own hand, as opposed to being compared to everything else made by that specific, you know, published by that specific studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have the publisher coming down with quality check.
Hold on, I gotta jump in because imagine if this was made by, like, let's say Activision, right? It would be an open world game with a ton of characters, side missions out the ass, bunch of collectibles, enemies scattered everywhere, and maybe a little bit of the psychosis in there, you know? And then a bunch of DLCs and shit, season passes.
Yeah, the voices will be like, don't forget to download the new DLC.
Microtransactions with additional content for the voices.
Yeah, fucking Aloy. Cinema would be voiced by, like, you know, Nicki Minaj or something. I don't know. Like, it would just throw all this money at it for no reason, you know? It's crazy. So I guess it's a good thing they decided, fuck that show. We just gotta make our own game, you know? Because it's nice and focused. When I heard this game was 7 hours long, I'm like, oh, thank God. It was like a breath of fresh air, you know? It's great.
The game, I think, is a great time for it. It is a great length for the type of game that it is.
Yeah.
I think that also that I hope it also allows for these sorts of, you know, smaller experiences to exist. You know, again, we get so caught up with cost and gameplay and all this other sort of stuff that, you know, if the game is fun, you know, what is the matter with the cost? So in this sense, and they've explained, Ninja Theory also explained this as well, if they were to release this and publish this on their own, they would have ended up having to charge something like a $60 and maybe artificially expand the game because they want to live up to those sorts of expectations that come with the price.
Because if it was $60. Yeah, yeah. Let's jump into that real quick. I did a Tony's take yesterday, inspired by what something Manny said on Twitter. And Manny, what did you say on Twitter? Because I was like, that is a good point here. No one's talking about
this. I said being that the Order 1886 is essentially the same length as a Hellblade. If the Order 1886 cost about the same amount of Hellblade, would people have been as heavy-handed on the game as they were when it was 60?
Yeah, and I don't think they would have been. I think they would have been a little more. And the opposite, if Hellblade was $60, would people have been as lenient on it?
Yeah, I think the pricing definitely has to do greatly with the how people kind of perceive the game.
Yeah,
where they're saying, okay, you know, they obviously go now. If they were to say this is a 6-hour experience, like right off the bat on a $60 game, people will just like rail on them.
Yeah, but they came out. They came out to say, oh yeah, this is an 8-hour game, $30, and everybody was fine with that.
That's what I think. I think there's an inherent difference between even a 5-hour game and a 7-hour game. Like I think there's a threshold of. It seems to me more or less than six. Like less than six seems like an incomplete game, and the fact that at 8 hours they came forward as a publisher and said we don't feel that there's enough content here to merit a $60 price tag, I think actually justifies a lot of people's anger with the order, doesn't it? And if you have a company that actually has more content saying that they don't feel justified charging $60 for a game that is only 8 hours long, and then next to them you have a company that says we're charging $60 for a 5-hour game, fuck everybody. Like I really think that if there was nothing wrong with releasing a $60 5-hour game, then they wouldn't have gone out of their way to only charge $30 for an 8-hour game.
This is a good point. The other thing I brought up, and
also, let me add that they are specifically making all of the money off of that game.
Yeah.
Or most of the money off of that game, as opposed to going through a publisher where they have to share the profits with whatever publisher that they're going through and all the different parts of the process.
Yeah, it's just nobody needs the publisher for the most part. Like publishers are just essentially leeches for creativity.
They need it for promotion. Marketing and stuff like that.
You can't just say you don't need publishers. You need publishers.
We've learned that from the music industry. How many of these artists like Radiohead and Nine Inch Nails, a lot of them have huge followings. And they say, you know, we don't need these labels. And eventually they go back because they do need it for the marketing and the promotion.
Yeah, exactly. And how many the thing about it is if Nine Inch Nails started right now, they couldn't pull that shit off. Only reason they pulled that off is because they already had a big
following.
Hellblade's doing pretty good.
But Hellblade is an established studio. That's the thing. It's Ninja Theory, you know?
You may have to establish yourself. That's fine. Like that's a good place for publishers to be, is to, you know, help quality control and raise up young and fledgling developers. Like, yeah, sure, we can relegate them to there, but I think the gaming world would be better if it weren't dominated by publishers the way that it were.
I see what you're saying. If they didn't have that stranglehold. You know, I was thinking about this, right? Ninja Theory is an interesting position because now they could not only make their own games, but if they want to, they could also make games for big publishers to make money so they can make their little passion projects.
Well, that's not bad. Which is pretty much what they did. If you look at some of Ninja Theory's previous games, and I'm not concluding the last one that they did DMC, but they actually did work on a one version of Disney Infinity.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, they, you know why, right? Yeah, you know why, right?
Yeah, they did it for the money. They obviously did it to help fund this game, which is what a lot of, you know, which is also kind of how the company that did Redline funded Redline. You know, I forgot the name of that animation studio, but what they did was they took a bunch of these kind of known properties and produced, you know, animation for them, for these known properties. They used that money to fund their passion project, which was Redline.
Yeah, Manny, you mean the way that Platinum took scale bond money and used it to fund Nier?
That's my tinfoil hat theory on that game.
Oh,
remember, man. We also saw Lawbreakers that came out at $30.
Oh, don't skip. We're gonna talk about Lawbreakers. All right, I think we kind of talked about Hellblade. Yeah, Hellblade, good shit. Go by, you know.
By the way, Madhouse.
There you go. All right. Since Adam talked about it, let's talk about some Lawbreakers because the game finally came out this week. And it fucking bombed.
That's another small studio, too. That's Cliffy's studio.
Yeah, it bombed harder than Battleborn. That ain't that about a bitch.
Oh!
Did it bomb? Did it bomb harder than Drawn Together?
Oh, you mean Drawn to Death?
Drawn to Death. No, not that bad. Not that bad.
Brutal. Now this is all steam.
Did it bomb harder than Brink?
Oh man. Wow. So yeah, what does this say about this game? You know, I don't get it. See, to me, I'm like, okay, so you're putting out yet another Overwatch game. I don't care if it's Cliffy B, man. Like,
well, the thing is, got to give credit though. He's been talking about this even before Overwatch. Like, I remember when Cliffy was talking about this game, it was way before. So the market wasn't as cluttered as it is now.
Yeah.
You know, so then it was in development for so long, and it was supposed to be a free-to-play. You know, and then that strategy we saw just pretty much fall apart because no one makes any money out of it. So then he was like, all right, well, we're going to push it out at a reduced price just to get into the market because Overwatch is dominating. You know, we see that with NBA Live now talking about they just announced $20 off. You know what I mean? Because 2K, you know, owns the market for NBA games. You know, so it was tough. Everybody knew it was going to be tough once they came out. And look what happened.
me. I told you so.
I don't think anyone doubted it, though.
No, I know. It's just like we as a whole podcast called this. They we're gonna see the same implosion with the MOBA market that we saw with MMOs, and it's kind of ironic that Blizzard. Well, it's not ironic. Blizzard's actually really good at moving in and dominating a market and pushing everybody else out because they hold a player base. You know. Hostage. This is not the first time this has happened, and you're going to see a lot of MMOs or a lot of MOBAs throwing themselves against this wall only to, you know, kind of fall apart. And I know everybody was like, oh, this is Cliffy B's game. Like, look, Cliffy B is not like a fucking genius. He's a guy who's good at posing with a prop gun. He doesn't have the fucking Midas touch that makes any game good, especially when you're trying to break into a new game type like MOBA. And the fact that he tried to break into a game type like MOBA was the first concerning thing about this for me. He's good for something.
Is it a MOBA though? I don't think it is a MOBA. I think it's just like an arena shooter.
Yeah, you know? He was sticking with what he knows. Unreal was an arena shooter.
You know, like Overwatch, is it not an arena shooter too, essentially? Just like Team Fortress?
Yeah. But wasn't Lawbreakers aiming for the MOBA crowd?
Nah, not really.
It didn't have all those crazy elements that Overwatch has.
Yeah, by the way, I think we should rename the Throwdown podcast to the I Told You So podcast. Because we call this shit, you know?
Yeah, it's to be honest, it was a very we kind of knew where it was going to go.
Right. Also, I have to admit one thing. Nobody knew Overwatch was going to dominate the way it did.
I did. Because it's Blizzard. I did.
Yeah.
Nobody saw it coming.
I did.
I did. You just put Blizzard on anything.
That's it. I didn't even know anything about fucking Overwatch. I didn't even like that game's going to fucking explode because
it's funny. We're talking about the other arena shooter. What was it? The one that failed against Overwatch. I remember before even Overwatch came out.
Oh, that's the Gearbox one?
Battleborn.
I remember when that was doing, like, everybody was talking about that shit.
Yeah.
And then it, all of a sudden, Overwatch comes out later, you know, they reveal Overwatch, and then everybody forgot about that game.
Everyone was like, Battleborn's coming out. And then Renato Rocha was like, oh, it's like Battleborn, but made by Blizzard. So Overwatch is coming.
Now, my question is, do you think this game failed because a lot of the Xbox guys didn't buy it because Cliffy B betrayed them?
No.
You guys remember that shit on Twitter, right? These guys are saying, Cliffy, you betrayed us. How dare you only put this game on PS4 and PC? So,
I'm sure now they're all like,
yeah, they're yucking it up. They love it. Like, this is what happens. This is what happens, Cliffy B.
I think maybe yes to a certain extent, although not the way that they think. I don't think the PS4 crowd is as into arena shooters as the Xbox crowd is. There's a good reason why Gears of War was so successful in the Xbox crowd. And it's a chicken or the egg thing. Like, did Gears of War succeed because of the player base on the Xbox, or did the Gears of War attract that kind of player base to the Xbox?
Well, we wouldn't know because it never came to PS4.
No, he's talking about Xbox, yeah.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. So that you could say that this is a type of game more geared towards Xbox than PlayStation.
Yeah. I don't know, because remember Call of Duty that came out sold more copies on PS4 this go around.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah. And so, I'm glad you guys are bringing this up, because the game is not on PS4 as of yet, I believe, or the numbers haven't been released yet.
Yeah, no, it is, because I remember it came out this weekend.
Okay, so the numbers haven't been released yet, because the game could potentially do well on PS4, you know? But I understand why they went with PS4 over Xbox, because there's a larger install base on the PS4. But at the same time, if you have more people that might be more potential players on Xbox, maybe they should have went with that.
And know? Also, let me also add that it is in general easier to release games on the PS4 than it is on Xbox. Apparently, there's a bunch of red tape that happens when it comes through Microsoft. And a lot of these indie developers, which Cliffy B is an independent developer, find it difficult to kind of get things approved through for Microsoft. Even though he kind of has the tenure, and they should have said, "Oh yeah, fuck this, yeah, Cliffy, yeah,
yeah, exactly."
I feel like maybe he might have pissed somebody off over there, and they're just like, "You got to do it just like everybody else, B."
Yeah, get on the back of the line, motherfucker.
Get on the back of the line like everybody else. But I made Gears of what?
No, Matt, he still gets a cut. Every time they make another Gears game, he gets a cut. He's still a creator.
Oh yeah, because in some games they actually do have residual contracts for
talked about it when people were like all pissed off and like, "Oh no, you wish you were part of this." He was like, "I am part of it when I get the checks." Oh.
So yeah,
good question. Like, do these developers, like, should they get like as much hype as they get, like him, David Jaffe, and like all those, like they're always like in the headlines of, "Oh, their game's coming up," but they're always like disappointments like nowadays.
I find it interesting with David Jaffe. It's like, you realize he only really made one huge game. Like, okay, I know
probably two.
Twisted Metal and God of War. Yeah. That's it. That's all he has. Why are you hyping these guys? You know, good.
Yeah, because Calling All Cars did so great for Peter Forum. No, it didn't.
And Twisted Metal, the new one, didn't do well either.
I think the Twisted Metal one is a little bit of a different story. I think the market doesn't really give a shit about Twisted Metal.
But the point is, it didn't do well.
There are times where it does matter. Chris, did you think Dark Souls 2 was as good as the other two?
No, I don't think so.
Do you think there's a reason for that?
Yeah, Miyazaki was not supervising that story, and it went off the rails.
There you go. I could say the same thing about Kojima. So there are people who you definitely notice when they're gone, but I think there are a lot of people who are overhyped too, because here's the thing. If a creator leaves a franchise and you can't really tell if the magic doesn't leave with them, then they weren't the magic to begin with. Star Wars.
Yeah, that's a good point. It actually got better somehow. But yeah, Lawbreakers, we called it, you know, once again.
I didn't know anything about Lawbreakers. Every single time I heard about it, I'm like, I feel like somebody like neuralized me, because I'm like, what was it? Even when we mentioned it just now, I'm like, who? What game? it's got this generic ass name. And then once you said the Cliffy B game, then all of that went, now I know what it is.
That's funny.
It's honestly generic. And like, maybe it's just the fact that I don't understand MOBAs or arena shooters anyway, but there doesn't seem to be all that much content. And what is there seems to be very, like I said, very, very generic, very middle of the road. Here's a few characters that have sassy attitude and a kind of implied backstory as for, you know, a very flimsy reason for you guys to be doing this. And now run around and shoot each other and capture the flag and try and hold on to this box and see who gets the most kills. And, you know, all the normal standard shit that Destiny is going to have just without the open world co-op aspect.
Yeah, but it's Cliffy B, though.
Yeah, it's Cliffy B, but everybody can get the same thing from Destiny soon.
You know,
yeah, but people are waiting for this for a long time. Like I said, I mean, this is years he's been talking about this. You know, and so there was a lot of hype on just what he could produce again. You know, I mean, the last game he put his stamp of approval on was Bulletstorm by that Polish group.
Oh, I love Bulletstorm.
He had some connection to it, but I think it was more of him promoting it. I don't think he actually worked on it.
I don't think he did, because that game was great.
You know, but he was always hyping it up, and he was like, yeah, that's it, Bulletstorm. That's going to be the
same
future.
Thing with that Metroidvania game that they made years ago.
Shadow Complex.
He also connected that to that, too.
Well, yeah, it was the same studio. Yeah, it was the studio. Epic, sorry.
Yeah. All right, man, let's move on to the next story here. This is interesting. Chris, I'm getting you on this one. So apparently the main manufacturer that Switch gets their screens from is in some trouble. So what's going on there, man?
Well, they're losing money. Let's see, their last financial report, they lost, I guess, almost, I'll just put in U.S. dollars, almost $300 million U.S. dollars, about $286 million.
Holy shit.
I mean, this... I'm just going to speculate a little bit. Guys, this is speculation. There is really just a supply drought of rare earths right now in China. So maybe that's halting their production. That's really cutting into their profits, right? And they're losing money just because they can't get materials. And I mean, they're blaming it on mismanagement and whatever, but I'm like, I don't have enough history with the company to know, like, have they been bleeding money? Have they been profitable up until now? Like, to me, if they're making screens for the Switch and they're trying to get that going as much as possible, and they have a contract with Nintendo, that would seem to, would, to me, would put them in the black, because they have a solid contract with a piece of hardware that's selling fairly well, but yet they're losing a ton of money. So I don't see good things for them, especially if they have to partner. Like they said here, one of their options might be to partner with a Taiwanese company, right? Which might mean a merger. The merger with a Taiwanese company, Nintendo may opt to go with someone else, may kill the contract. So I don't know. It's a weird give and take in terms of finance. If they want to keep the company solvent, they may have to merge with a Chinese company, or they may just be taken over. And then, what does Nintendo do? Where do they go? Who's their secondary partner? Do they have one lined up? I doubt it. Right?
They said they're the sole supplier.
Right, they're sole supplier, and I don't think they have anyone like in mind to replace them if this deal goes south. So that it'll be interesting to see what happens. You know,
how do you think this is going to affect Switch production if the worst case scenario happens?
If this company the worst case is this company goes under, right? They can't get a merger. They can't get bought out. They can't get investors. So you'd essentially kill the Switch production until Nintendo could score a deal with someone else for screens. And you'd have to start, you'd have to set up that manufacturing all over again. And orders and all that shit. It would be a mess.
Man. You know, so I'm wondering how is this going to affect the holidays, you know, because that's when we were really going to want the Switch.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, Chris. Do you think there's a universe where Nintendo might use this to renegotiate with somebody else for possibly a better deal? Because the Switch is in higher demand than even they thought that it was going to be. So the problem could be that their contract with this one company who could only make so much was causing the bottleneck. So now that they have, you know, better goodwill in the industry and people are more confident of their success, do you think they might, you know, renegotiate to a different company, use this excuse to renegotiate to a different company and reduce their bottleneck?
Well, no, because you probably have a contract with this company. Like Apple uses the same company. This is a big supplier of screens, right? The only problem is they only manufacture standard LCD and LED screens. So one of their contracts was with Apple. They had a huge contract with Apple. Apple broke the contract because they're moving to OLED. JPI doesn't make OLED. So they probably lost a ton of money right there. And Nintendo can't fill that gap, you know, whatever they lost in terms of how many screens they produced to make iPhones and iPads, right? I don't know what JPI was making exactly for Apple. I'm assuming it was iPhone and iPad screens, or maybe a certain percentage of them, because Apple makes so many phones and iPads. It probably had several companies producing it. You lose a contract like that, it's a kick in the balls, and I don't think Nintendo's the ice pack to help with that. So that being said, they while it opens them up to produce maybe more for Nintendo, the company also has to try to stay solvent while losing a huge amount of revenue. And if they get bought out, or if they merge with a Taiwanese company, that changes their terms of contract with anyone else remaining, which is Nintendo. So I don't know if Nintendo would care to continue working with them, if that would be fine, or if they decide to move on, you know, which would, you're always going to have a gap in production if that happens. And if the company goes under, you definitely have a gap in production because they just won't produce any more product, and you have to find someone else really fast.
Now, do OLEDs require less rare earth minerals to produce?
Yeah, I think that's the idea. I'm not sure what the compound is that they're using to produce, when you run a current through it, to produce like colors and all that stuff. I don't remember. I mean, I don't know if it's even the same as what Sony uses to produce theirs. But yeah, you rely less on, the other elements you would need to make a standard LCD or LED screen, and but that process is more expensive. Right, so Apple can afford to move on to someone else who can produce them in volume, LED screens. I doubt that Nintendo would want to take that hit and move to an OLED screen, although they might have to.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. We'll have to see, because again, I was under the belief that if Nintendo could actually get their act together, you know, when it comes to this, they could actually do really, really well in the holidays. But now it's looking like that ain't gonna happen, you know. So I guess the order of the predictions by the end of the year now is like 10 million by the end of the year.
By the end of their fiscal year.
Fiscal year. So we'll see about that now. You know, it's just interesting because now Nintendo isn't actually doing like a lot of the, you know, artificial scarcity. It's other shit that's compounding it, you know. Right.
But while they're not transparent about this, at least we know, and we're telling you guys, if there's shortages, this is one of the reasons, right?
Yeah.
And this is a core piece of the Switch. You can't have a Switch without a screen.
So, yeah, it doesn't work like that, you know?
Yeah.
There's no screenless Switch.
keep it docked.
You know, that could be
a docked edition.
That could be a possibility with the thing, too. They literally just take the components of the Switch, put it into the dock, and then essentially just make it the non-portable Switch.
Man, that's the version I would have bought if that was available, you know? I
mean, the crazy thing is if the Switch, if you don't need a screen anymore, you can make that thing really small.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. You know?
Switch Mini.
Yeah. Hey, Adam, don't joke. They may do that one day. Don't put it back. Yeah,
I'm sure.
All right, man. Let's move on here. This is a funny one. So Valve trolled everybody. So they came out and said, hey, we got a new game announcement, people. You know what happened next. Everybody lost their fucking mind. Oh, here it is. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Half-Life 3 is coming.
Portal 3.
Nope. You know what you're getting? A fucking Dota card game.
Card game. And there's video of this event online. They revealed it, I think, at some sort of tournament or something like that.
People lost their minds, man. Literally,
when they saw it, they went. You hear everybody in there go, "Oh!"
You mean when they announced it, right?
Like, oh, like, oh my God, this is not what we wanted.
I'm pretty sure that's the reaction Valve didn't want, you know.
No, come on. They have to be living. They can't be that naive about what people might want. People want the fucking third installments of all those fucking games they've made. You know, the zombie game they made, Portal 3, friggin' Half-Life 3 or Half-Life Volume is Half-Life 2, Volume 3.
Yeah, you're talking about Left 4 Dead.
Left 4 Dead.
Or Left 3 Dead.
And that's the thing. It's like, I mean, a lot of people know they let go of almost all the people involved in development of any of those games. You know?
Oh yeah, because they don't need them anymore.
Exactly, but that should have been assigned to a lot of these people that were expecting a sequel to these, or it's not happening.
The thing that surprised me the most is that they didn't do a Team Fortress 3, because I mean, with all the success of Overwatch, which basically stole a lot of Team Fortress, like,
yeah,
would have been a logical step if they wanted to cash it in, you know.
I feel like in general, Team Fortress 2 has such a hold on the whole thing. For them to update it or make a new one, it would be a really it might be taken as bad.
See, I don't know why they didn't just, if they let go of the development teams, why they didn't let them take the IPs with them and just secure distribution rights. Like, you know, let somebody else make Portal 3, but only allow it through Steam.
That's why you saw the guys who made Portal. They made that one game. What was it called? The something machine or whatever. I can't remember it. It was made by a lot of the developers behind Portal, because they all got let go years ago.
Damn. Well, yeah, I just find that funny. Again, like, people, stop it. They're not going to give you that fucking game. It's over.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, and the thing is that Gabe Newell, he, you know, everyone sees him as the god, but, you know, number one, he doesn't even go out there because he knows he's not beholden to any of you people out there. Anybody goes and asks him about it, he'll just not even answer that question. And supposedly, you know, it's funny because I was actually doing some research in there. There has been iterations of that third chapter of a Half-Life that were in some sort of development, but they all got nixed in some way. One version was made by the guy who made Deus Ex. In other words, to kind of get some extra money for his company before they got bought by Disney and closed down.
Oh shit!
After they did Epic Mickey, he was working on the third chapter for Half-Life.
Well, I mean, Valve has an issue with third of anything, man. They're like stuck with two, like. Portal 2, Half-Life 2, Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah, 2-2-2.
Fortress 2.
By the way, Barry Byrne says, the crowd made the same sound Gabe makes when somebody tells him there's no cake.
Oh. Hey, listen, you know, again, it's like, he's too busy counting his money to care about you people.
Yeah.
At this point in time, he has the strength. He essentially has the, you know, there. It's not a monopoly on online PC games, but it kind of is a monopoly. He's the only game in town, essentially, because he's already in the zeitgeist. Now, if the product gets any shittier or whatever they do gets any shittier, people still deal with that shit because they're the one.
Yeah, no one's gonna go to GOG.
It's like iTunes, how iTunes kind of has the stranglehold on everything. Yes, there is Sony's, whatever the hell it is, and there's a bunch of other ones, but none of them hold a candle to iTunes.
Were you going to say, Carlos?
Yeah, just agreeing. Like it's like Google. Like, I mean, there's Yahoo, there's Ask Jeeves, there's Bing.
Ask Jeeves.
Jeeves is still around?
That shit is still around. Fuck. Oh,
shit. Lycos is not around. They got bought by Yahoo, though.
Yahoo! Can I say that on a Google product? Oh, well, fuck it.
No, I don't know. The Google Nazis will come and take you down.
No, we're not going to get it. I wish we could talk about that, but not on this show. So anyway, let's go on to the last topic here, suggested by Adam. This interests us. You guys talked about this on the WrestleCast, the whole drama that's going on with WWE 2K18. This game is supposed to come out soon. We haven't seen shit.
And that was the thing. It's like you was when we brought it up, and you're like, oh, there's a bunch of footage on YouTube, and it's all fan bullshit.
Yeah, it's all GTA 6 unboxing type bullshit.
Yeah, they're just making up shit. But it's very odd that they haven't shown any gameplay. You know, so at this point, especially it's coming out in October, and they showed a few screenshots like they usually do. But usually at this point, we're seeing all kinds of other things, you know. We're seeing gameplay, we're seeing feature listing and all this other stuff. None of it.
You know? So what's your theory about this? What do you think is going on?
My theory is it's just a legacy. It's just the same version of 2K17 with some little tweaks here and there. You know, I had talked about on the WrestleCast that I have a feeling that what they do is, and this, we've already seen this in this current version, is that they have a bunch of features from all the other versions that they've had, and then they put in and they take some out every year. So they're like, oh, based off of fan requests, we're bringing back, you know, fights in the backstage and fights in the crowd. I don't know anybody who didn't want these things before. Why'd you take them out? You know, but this is why they take them out. So that way later on they can introduce them as new features, you know. So it's one of those situations where it just keeps looping, you know. But the thing is that what I was talking to you about, when what exactly is this game anyway? Like,
yeah,
it's part of the 2K series. A lot of people think it's listed on all the stores as a sport, but what we know as sport games, they're not living up to, which is that when this game comes out, the roster is always outdated. They never update the roster. They leave it as is. You know what I mean? When you get 2K, the basketball game, if you get FIFA, you get hockey, you get any of these sport games, those rosters are updated. You know what I mean? They go update it, and then in their career modes and stuff, if a player gets hurt, he's out of action. In this one, which is their universe mode, which they said is like open like those other ones, it doesn't happen. There's injuries, but it's not real world injuries. You know, there's nobody overseeing this once this game comes out. They'll just start pushing a bunch of DLC and patches here and there, but it doesn't feel like the other sport games, so it's not really part of the sport series. You know what I mean? It's just a fighting game. I know you're like, oh well, wrestling is his own thing. Not anymore. Not the way these are. It's a modified fighting game. It's putting you in a place. You throw yourselves around. You press a bunch of fucking buttons, and you win. You hit a finisher just like any other game, you know, and then you win the match. You know what I mean? It's not what they wanted to do. What they wanted to do is they wanted to make it very technical. They wanted to make it like a sim. You know, but it, and then they did slow it down because when it was SmackDown versus Raw, yeah, it was a button masher, you know. But now it's like, well, I can counter, I get 5 counters, you know, and I get my specials, but then you can still do other things, knock out the ref, grab a chair, hit the guy with the chair, you know, a bunch of times, or whatever weapon you can grab. And, you know, it's fun and all, but it just hasn't evolved. And that's my problem with it. And I have a feeling that they know that it hasn't evolved, because remember, this game, just like the other sport games, comes out every damn year, and they only have the same studio doing it. They don't have 3 studios like Call of Duty or anything, you know. So it's sad, because, you know, it's the only game in town. You know, yeah, we have Fire Pro, but that's a completely different type of game, you know what I mean? So when it comes to sports entertainment of this level, this is the only one we have, and this is probably why they get away with what they're doing, because they know they have no real competition in this market.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they just get lazy in that regard.
They get, you know? They get lazy, and it's a combination of either getting lazy or just not having the time. Like, I brought this up on the WrestleCast when they talked to one of the developers, and he talked about like the tier structure of when they go to producing one of these games. And a lot of people always complain that when it comes out, the roster's outdated. Not only is the roster outdated, but like, let's say if earlier in the year you were part of a tag team, you broke up. When the game comes out, you're still in that damn tag team.
Wow.
It's up to you to go in and now modify and make all the changes. You know what I mean? I was like, yo, you had the whole year. And the developer said, well, the first thing they do is all the character models, right? And so they do that at the beginning part, and then development of the game takes over. So, yeah, all this shit is outdated, you know, and I understand that. But then you as a developer should also understand that if, let's say, a guy who's just a nobody, like Jinder Mahal, who is a nobody when last WrestleMania, and now he's like the champ, he has a whole highlight reel, he's got all this stuff going on, new intro – he has to be relevant in this new game, or else people are going to be like, yo, this shit is old. You know what I mean? Just tweak these things. Make these changes. Just if it has to be a big-ass patch.
You know what I mean? You know.
Just, yeah, they're all doing it. Just make it day one. By the way, we went back. We updated. Yeah, this guy's now relevant. He's a champ. He's no longer the jobber that he was last year. You know, because some people just make those jumps up and down. You know, and they already said they're not doing that. They're not doing a draft. They're not adding all the other stuff that's going on in that universe. And yes, I get it. WWE is different than sports series because it's all year round. It's like a circus. But WWE has this thing called the draft, or the shakeup, which you're calling it now, which is where they get to shake things up, and then it's more like a reboot. You know, wrestlers jump ship from SmackDown and Raw and NXT, and it just does that over. They could do something like that and then just incorporate that into the game and then make these adjustments. They don't do it. They have nobody on this game. The only person they seem to have linked to this game after it gets released is on Twitter. No. I mean, like on Twitter, on social media. Hey, by the way, reenact Goldberg versus Brock, you know, and the two cases. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, that's great. They're in there. But why aren't you just updating this thing? Why in the universe and stuff like that? If, let's say, John Cena is hurt, you know, John Cena should be hurt in my live universe. I mean, he should not be playable. That would be awesome. Yeah, people could turn it on and off just like they do in the other sport games. You know, do a roster update just like the shakeups. If a bunch of people got moved over to Raw, then when I turn on my PS4 Xbox the next day, I should see an update and a roster change, and they should just be moved around. Why is it up to us to do it? Because that's what the developer said in the Q&A, because people asked about this. And he's like, oh, well, we didn't incorporate that, but you guys can do it. Yeah, we could do everything. That's the problem. We're doing everything.
Here's the thing, Bill. You got to think of it. They're seeing this as more of a licensed product, not really as a sport. They say it's part of their sports division.
Yep,
it's not.
That's the whole thing.
It's just there to be the cash grab. You like wrestling? Well, play the wrestling game. That's it.
Yep.
They're never going to go to that level of detail what EA does or any of the other 2K does under other official sports titles.
And that's what sucks. It's like it's fun and it has a lot of cool elements, but there's so many other improvements and stuff that people have suggested and they don't do it. I think it's not so much that they don't want to do it. They don't have the time to do it.
They don't have the time and they probably don't have the budget. I mean, they probably make a decent amount of money on those games, but they're not making anywhere as much as a 2K game. You know, like a 2K basketball game or EA FIFA game.
You know, but they must be making something that they can afford to come out with a new one every year. Every year, well, there's another one.
You said it yourself. It's essentially the original game, just with like some tweaks on it. So that's how they're able to do it.
You know, so it's sad, and that's it. You know, we brought it up on the WrestleCast because it's going very close to the release date. And still, no video footage, nothing. You know, and I think they know it. They announced bundle deals. Hell, they threw in John Cena's action figure in one, which makes no sense because Seth Rollins is on the front cover of this damn one. So why are we getting a Cena doll with this shit? You know, but
because they had a bunch of Cena dolls they needed to get rid of.
Exactly. That's what I said. I was like, they have a bunch of extras that they didn't get rid of. You know, and it's like, all right. So so now they're just trying to get everybody to jump on these pre-orders because they know that once they see it, it's not going to be anything special. And I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong because they're doing all that same spiel of like, oh, wow, we redid the engine. Oh, wow, we redid the animations. We added all this. That's bullshit because if you did, you would show it. You would show it. You would have been at E3 showing it. They've done it before at E3 where they'll have a whole panel. They'll have, you know, Steve Austin and Sting and all these other people, they've done it before. This year, nothing. Nothing. You know, and they haven't talked about anything.
Oh, I'm laughing because Barry Burton goes, how about a Lucha Underground game directed by Shu Takumi?
Shit, man, I will fly down and try to help in any way I can to make that shit happen. Because that would be awesome just with the storylines itself. But again, it's just no competition. That's the thing. I would love if any other studio jumped in and said, hey, you know what? Jump into this.
Hey, Adam, you'll appreciate this. OBJ did on in the comments. What's up, OBJ, with your 1 hour ass review, bro? What's up with that? I'm fucking with you. So he goes, he wants EA to bring back Fight Night. Remember that shit, man?
Yeah, Fight Night. Like, that was the thing. EA, I mean, they have a team like no other. Fight Night was great. You know, even when they did EA MMA, that was great. You know what I mean? It's like, but they just pushed away from it. They started doing the UFC stuff. UFC stuff was kind of cool, but once you get on the ground, the controls are horrible, you know, and that it tries to simulate it, and I get it, but it just never really worked right. EA MMA did it. I don't know why they didn't go with that scheme, whatever, you know, but even EA, remember, who was that released that Backyard Wrestling? Remember that?
I remember that shit.
You know what I mean? It's like, and I remember that
shit.
That was during that. The heyday of like the Attitude Era when there was like WCW and WWE and it's like other developers wanted to get in on the action. I was like, damn, we can't get these licenses. What else can we get? And they got Backyard Wrestling. They got a lot of indie wrestlers in there and stuff.
I think Blue Meanie's in the game, isn't he?
Messiah, which is a wrestler who's missing a thumb, and in the game you see he's missing a thumb.
Yo, Knockout Kings, man.
You know, Knockout Kings. You know, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, where is any of that? I mean, create some, like, Fire Pro is awesome because it's like just create your own shit, but it's on a lower level. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's different, you know, but it would be great if we could see something like that. I don't know. I just want something else. I feel like we're just stuck. I feel like the guys that are playing Madden right now that are just kind of pissed off because they're like, man, we're seeing the same shit over and over again, and they miss when, you know, Sega used to make those awesome Madden games and 2K. But, well, I mean, 2K not Madden games, but 2K football games. Well, 2K were the ones that did it. Yeah, they were the ones that did it. You know, but then the Madden for EA got that license with NFL, and there goes that. You know, and I don't know. There's so many other promotions, and hopefully something else. I mean, we've seen like ECW had some games when Acclaim was around. Remember Acclaim?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Acclaim. That was really bad. Acclaim produced some really bad games, and those are bad. But the point is that there's other federations. Hell, New Japan. New Japan's huge right now, you know, and there's a bunch of Japanese developers out there. Have one of those developers jump out and make a game.
Wasn't Yangtze the one that made – that's a Japanese developer, isn't it?
Yeah.
One of the crazy things –
the guys that did the SmackDown games?
Yeah. Yep. SmackDown.
Like with Madden, like that game was dying down. I mean, Madden is just a roster update every year. There's really nothing added to new to the game. But once they added, and Adam knows about this, the Ultimate Team, forget about it.
But once much, because they saw how popular it is on FIFA. You know, FUT is off the hook. You know, people get into it, and it's like, I keep trying to not get involved in that. You know, this year I was like, they just gave me that beta to play the FIFA 18, and I'm playing. I'm like, okay, it's more FIFA. But it's really FUT that changes everything. I spend more time in FUT than I do in any other mode besides the journey.
And that is a card game within the game.
It is. It's a card game. It's a playable card game. It's weird. You know, it's like you get your cards, but then you can then – I heard a beep. What was that beep?
Yeah, somebody put something in the microwave.
No, man, I put my air conditioner on. It's hot in here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for those who don't know what FUT is, you know, or MUT, it's like, all right, so it looks like a card game. You pick the players, you see their stats and stuff like that. You build your team, but then you actually play them. So then you'll play them in tournaments, whether online or offline, right? And then you gain money for them. But the thing is that these players are just like real players. You have to put contracts on them. They can get injured. You know, there's other abilities you can add on to them, different skills. You can put different cards to swap positions. So if, let's say, the guy's a midfielder, you can make him an attacking midfielder, those type of things. So people get hooked on it, and it's all about getting cards. And then in the auction house, the cards can cost different values, and then you have to buy packs. Of course, winning matches get you packs, and winning tournaments gives you coins to get packs. Or this is where the money comes in. To put in real money, and then you can start buying these packs. And a lot of people put in big money. If I remember right, every Wednesday is when they start releasing the updates, because that's the other thing. These cards are always updated to real stats. So let's say if Manny, you're a striker and you're playing for your team and you just score 3 goals, well, you're going to get a black card come Wednesday. Right, so there's a boost card that's going to be limited edition. It's only going to be available on Friday. And if your stats were 86, it might be 87 or 88. Right, mm-hmm. So now that's a rare card available only on Wednesday during a certain window, like a 2-hour window or 3-hour window. When this happens, you'll see on YouTube people go live streaming. They put in $100, $200 in their account, and they just start opening packs, and they're just filming themselves opening packs to see what they get.
Those videos get so many views, man.
Oh, my Lord. People go nuts. I remember this one guy, and he put in – it must have been like $400 or $500 because there was a new Ronaldo card. It was like the player of the year. There was a new Ronaldo. There was a new Messi. All these cards coming. And he was just banging them open. And he wound up getting a Ronaldo, and he went nuts. He was thrilled. But I'm like, yo, you put in hundreds of real dollars into this. So then they incorporated it into Madden, you know, and I wasn't sure how successful that was because I know a bunch of people that play Madden, and they're like, yeah, I jump into it, but I'm big into the career mode and stuff. So I don't know if it's making that type of money like the way FUT is, but I guess it is because they're still hyping it up, and, you know, it's bringing more life into it. You know, but we see that in all these games now. You know, everybody's adding some form of microtransactions or loot crates or things that are dropping down. You know what I mean? They're all trying to do it. You know, we just found out with the new Shadow of War, the Mordor game that's going to have a shitload of microtransactions for all kinds of stuff.
Blackstar is going crazy. And Tony, you're muted.
I got too many things going. Yo, Barry Burton is fucking killing me right now, man. He goes, we need the Buster Douglas knockout boxing remaster.
Yo, that was a good game. That Yo, game
was really good. Yeah. Shout out to Titanfall Princess, by the way. How you doing, mama? Oh, man. Yo, with the Buster Douglas. That's, you remember that shit, man, back in the day? Buster Douglas.
Yep. It was sad because when that came out, he lost. He lost before that game got released.
And then there was Evander Holyfield boxing.
Uh-huh. It was. Oh, man. That's funny. All right, man. So let's get into, you know, since we still got some time. Again, not a lot's going on in gaming, so these episodes are always a little shorter. But let's get into what have we been playing, man. Manny, have you been playing anything?
I am in Nier, still playing it. I'm trying to kind of get enough, augmenting items to kind of help me fight against Emil, which is like a secret boss.
Uh-oh.
It's kind of a secret boss and kind of not a secret boss. There's two kind of off the beaten path bosses in the game. And when I get to a point where I feel like I can take him on, which I have the high enough level to beat him, but he has this kind of OP like super move he does before he dies.
Yeah.
So I want to get myself to a point where I can kind of withstand that and then beat him. And that's the point when I'm going to start streaming. I would stream myself playing it, but there's not a lot for me to do additionally that is not story based.
Yes.
So there's only these things. There's only this, and then kind of, you know, and fishing. And y'all don't want to watch me fish.
That'll be fishing the hottest live stream of all time.
Fishing in Nier is so fucking random. It's painful. I've heard like 2 hours or 3 hours or 4 hours just to get this one specific fish.
Wow.
In the game. So yeah, I'm not going to do that, but I am going to do something entertaining. Want to do something entertaining, which, you know, show me fighting this guy, maybe probably get my ass whipped by him. We'll see. And then I also have Hellblade, which I haven't started playing. I hope once I'm done with my work, I can go in and, you know, knock it out in 6 or 7 or 8 hours, you know, whatever it takes to beat it. But I do really want to play that. And I just got the thing now, Sonic Mania. Also, by the way, people, limited run games tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Night Trap.
So, dude, wait, 10 a.m. I'm getting up early.
10 a.m. Pop in that shit. Put your shit together. Get Night Trap.
Dude, I want that 32 Xbox, man. That's the shit I want.
Well, that's the PC version, I think.
I don't give a fuck.
The 32 Xbox is one of the other ones. Yeah, but yeah.
I don't give a fuck. It could be for Switch. You know, that's the one I want.
But yeah, they have like a couple of different versions. There's a PC version. There's a super awesome like super bundle that comes with a bunch of stuff. And then there's the regular one. Yeah. Which has a reversible cover.
Yeah, by the way, Adam, OBJ said he's going to get the wrestling game on Switch. That's what he wants it on.
Well, that's another one we haven't seen. We don't know what's going to be in that shit.
It's just going to be SmackDown. The original SmackDown.
Anyway, Manny, I'm glad you're playing some games, though. That's good. Try to sneak them in there, man.
I sneak them in there, but man, it is like... Okay, let's say I finish off like early in the thing. Like the other day... I think I finished off at like one. I'm like, yeah, I got some time. Daylight's coming out, fucking birds. I'm like, fuck. That's why I try. I can't physically play games because I know I will be there for hours playing.
Oh, man. Yeah, okay. Because originally I was like Manny didn't get Hellblade because you like Ninja Theory as much as I do.
No, I pre-ordered that shit. It's waiting for my fucking console.
There you go. All right. By the way, since you were talking about streaming, I'll go to me next. The other game I've been playing besides Hellblade, you guys saw the live stream of that, was motherfucking Agents of Mayhem. So Adam's the only one that's hating
on it. I'm not the only one. There's a lot of people also hating on it. They just don't see it. They don't see the big deal. There really is no big deal.
But what about all the people that saw my live stream and are not going to get it because of that? They're like, oh, shit.
I don't believe them.
I don't believe the people saying that game's gonna be shit.
There we go. All right, so we'll just go based off of sales and the numbers, and we'll see.
Yeah, or I should actually talk to the guy that actually played the game, me instead of people just, you know, putting shit into it that it was never in the first place. This is just like the older 1886. People assumed the game was going to be co-op because there's a bunch of characters. Don't assume shit unless the developer tells you that, you know? But again,
they're assuming it because their last game was co-op.
You know? Yeah, but still, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't just assume.
You know what? Your last game had cars. No cars in this one.
Oh, well, the thing is, it's like expecting Grant, like, well, just because Grand Theft Auto has three characters, all of a sudden that's a co-op game.
Yeah, that's stupid. That's
no, but I would expect the next GTA to have an online mode.
Yeah. Yeah, but if they don't tell you that, you shouldn't go in expecting it either. Understand?
It doesn't have an online mode. I'll be very disappointed.
But not only that, the way they advertise this, the way it just sounds like it made perfect sense. They never said it, and that's a disappointment.
Yeah, well, I don't have I don't think that's going to hurt the game. The game is hot and loving it so far. I'm playing that again. I was very lucky with that because usually you can't stream shit until like when the embargo lifts, but they're like, yeah, well, you can stream the first 5 hours. I'm like, bam, let me jump on that shit. So that stream did very, very well. People are still checking out the video, you know. Definitely pick up the game. Volition is the fucking truth. Great fucking company. And I also played a little bit of Mega Man Legacy Collection. Dude, I bought some games this week. It was like, damn, it's like, it's the fall already, you know? It has Mega Man 7, 8, 9, and 10, you know?
Did you put 8 in and see if the bad voiceovers were in there?
The thing, I played a little bit of 8 at E3, right? I never played 8 in my life, so it was kind of interesting seeing, like, they got cutscenes in this bitch? Here's what I found interesting. So 7 has this really big Mega Man sprite, right? And then 8 has a littler one, you know, like, and that's the 32-bit version, you know, so that was interesting. But then obviously 9 and 10 are the throwback games. But what I like about this, like, they give you, because Mega Man games are fucking hard, so they give you double the health if you want, and also you could rewind. I don't actually know, you can't rewind, but you can just save at specific spots if you want. They don't have the rewind.
Do the codes still work in those games? Can you put the code in?
I'm assuming so, you know. So that's what I've been playing. And obviously, like everybody else, I'm eagerly anticipating Sonic Mania. I can't fucking wait.
Did you get the thing this weekend? The thing to, did you get the email from Amazon saying they shipped it? Because I just got mine.
No, I didn't get nothing. I didn't get shit. As a matter of fact, I don't know what happened because I know I pre-ordered it from Amazon, but when I went to check, there was nothing there at all. So I was like,
open orders. It might be in that area.
Yeah. Well, anyway, because I didn't want to chance it, I ordered off of Best Buy too. So I may be getting this game twice. I'm like, I'm not taking a fucking chance, you know? Because Amazon, I don't know what the hell's going on with them. Because I pre-ordered this thing like a year ago. So who knows? Who knows what could have happened? So yeah, that's what I have been playing. Chris, man, you been playing anything?
I've gone back to Platinum Resident Evil 7 again.
Oh shit!
Oh wait, on your console,
profile,
I played you crazy, man. You crazy.
I'm gonna get, like, I have no fear this time. I'm just running up to boss, shooting him in the face. I'm like, I know what you do, so I'm pretty confident I can now play that in VR without losing barrel control if I had.
You know, I'm looking at my open orders, by the way. Oh yeah, Manny, there it is.
Yeah, it should be there.
Okay, I'll probably just cancel it why do I have Yakuza Kiwami order twice? What the fuck?
Yo, that's, man, weird. You want that game doubly.
You would figure Amazon be like, yo, my man, you already pre-ordered that shit. I got Metroid. Oh, actually, I could cancel Uncharted now because your boy's gonna be getting a review copy of that.
Did you have the season pass?
There you go.
Because it came the season pass. Uncharted.
Oh,
Uncharted.
Wait, the DLC has a season pass?
No, the DLC is part of the season pass.
Oh no, I haven't bought a season pass for a game in who knows how long. I don't do that shit anymore. You know, so
I know I bought the special edition of that, and it should have come with it.
Yeah, because I got a notice that it's part of it. It's in there, so.
Yeah. Anything else, dude, Chris?
No, that's it right now. I plan to get Agents of Mayhem probably.
Yes, my man.
Yeah. But that's it for now.
Cool. All right, Carlos, what you got? Mr. Romero.
I'm playing Nier right now so I can mention it.
Nice. Ooh, yes.
How are you? You've already beaten it once, right?
Oh, no. Not even close.
Oh, so you're still in the first playthrough with 2B.
With 2B, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so I'm playing that, and this has probably been said, but like, yo, the map system in this thing sucks ass.
Oh, Neo?
it's not great.
It's like I'm trying to navigate to places and I'm like, so
confused. Damn, saluda.
That they say bless you, Jossie.
Fuck. yeah, the map, go ahead.
Yeah, so it's like I place a marker and then I'm like, it doesn't really like I really tell the difference.
You can rotate the map a little bit, the little that kind of weird map that it has.
Oh, salute again.
Yeah, so it's like the map thing, but like the game's fun, so it doesn't really matter. I have like not have any complaints about this game.
Oh, they kind of reuse it. Like a lot of the areas kind of get reused again for a lot of different things, so you kind of get used to the mapping.
Right. Yeah, and like also noticed that the performance on the regular PS4 is not bad, but like because I've been playing the game originally. I played it on the Pro. Mm-hmm. I moved it onto my regular PS4. And it's sometimes it has a little hiccup, so I'm like,
yeah, like there's like loading areas and stuff like that have that problem. It's like you can kind of tell where it little stutters a little bit, but yeah, in the Pro it runs a lot better.
Yeah, it makes me appreciate purchasing my Pro now.
Oh shit! Hey, dude, same thing with me when I'm playing whatchamacallit? I was about to say Enslaved, Hellblade, dude. Those 60 frames look very nice.
Very nice. Yeah, man, it's like something that
I've seen kind of both of them together. I kind of dig the 30 frames per second. It gives a little bit more of a cinematic feel to it. But then again, there's like a couple of different ways you can play that game, as I remember for Pro. Like there's like a detail mode. There's like an enhanced detail mode which runs it at 30, and then or there's the 60 frames mode.
Yeah, 1080. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Carlos. Yeah. So yeah, you appreciate that Pro now a little, right? Near runs nice at 60 frames too, Bren. It's crazy. Yeah,
it always runs. Here's the thing. It runs real, like for the most part on the PS4. I was gonna say two. It runs a lot. It runs for the most part at 30. At 30 at 60 frames per second. Flames. Where there's you know, though there is obvious like little hiccups when certain areas kind of load in. Like going from the desert. From the destroyed city to the desert, you get that one little hiccup that happens there. You can kind of see where it almost happens. Like, you know the areas.
You know what's funny? You know, not to derail this conversation too much, because, you know, obviously I haven't exactly been happy with the Pro and stuff, but I just realized the last three games I've played have all been 60 frames a second because of the Pro. Yakuza, Nier, and Hellblade. Very interesting. Maybe I should shut up.
Yakuza is not always in 60.
No, it's I believe it's 30.
Oh, okay.
You know.
So I'm going to mention something real quick about Nier. It's I'm going to try not to spoil it, but
Automata.
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 Yeah, it's like there's this one part where you get to like a place that has like a carnival atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I know, yeah.
Yo, I went...
Wait, Carlos, would you call it a robot carnival?
Oh, yeah. Indeed, I would. Yo, man, like, what I didn't notice is that... Oh, damn it. I can't say it, but I just, like, I'll tell you this. I went ham, and I'm like, damn it, why did I do that?
You know, here's the thing. The one thing to know about that area, this is not really a spoiler, but... If you walk in that area, none of the enemies in there really attack you.
That's what I did. I just chilled. I didn't attack.
Until you get to the roller coaster.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. But that's it. They're all dancing around and all kinds of other fun. Like, they're like, yay. And you can talk to most of them. So it's like, okay.
Yeah, that's what I did. I'm like, my man's just chilling right now. So I'm going to leave him alone. They're just, you know.
Just for the hell of it, though, there is a hidden fight in there.
Oh,
there's that, you know, that gold statue when you walk in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you later on in the game, there's a special way to make him come to life, and he's like crazy strong. He's like level 99.
Oh shit!
But the thing is that what people have been doing is they use that to grind because he's hard, but he's not that hard.
Right. Go ahead, Ben.
And Heroes of the Storm.
Of course.
Of course.
Heroes of the Storm.
Heroes of the Storm.
Yo, why did this game cost more on fucking Best Buy than Amazon? Fuck this shit.
What, Sonic?
Sonic, yeah.
Oh, shit. That comes out next week, right?
No, yeah, whew, I can't fucking
wait. Oh, you know why? Because you have Amazon Prime, don't you?
Prime, yes, I do.
Yeah, so you know there is that pre-order for Prime games. Like, you get, like, a discount.
Yeah.
Like, they give you a couple of bucks discount, like, maybe, like, taxes off of it.
Crazy. All right, who's up next? Brett, besides Hellblade, what have you been playing?
Mostly just Hellblade.
Nothing else, huh?
No. Worked last weekend. Got out. Played I want to say two good sessions, which has taken up a better chunk of my free time. But I beat it. I'm through it.
Nice.
I'm at the other side, so now I got to get back to work.
So, Brett, question. Yes. This is not game related, but how many shows, as you said, you were going to start doing more shows, more tattoo shows.
Oh yeah. We were going to go, actually to a show in Colorado at the end of the month, but that may or may not be on the chopping block because we just had to invest a bunch of money in new signs. So
okay.
Talk to the accountant and see if that's up for grabs, but yeah.
You should let people know because it, you know, might get some stuff people seeing. I don't know. I don't know if there's any crossover.
yeah. On the slim possibility, I'll let you guys know next time I'm heading out of town.
Cool. All right, and Adam, man, what about you? What you been playing, brother?
Finished Dead Space 3. Me and my buddy on Xbox. We did that. So that was fucking long. 19 chapters, man. That was a pain in the ass.
Is that one of those games that you would say is too long for its own good?
Yeah, too long for its own good. It's a lot of backtracking. It had a very Resident Evil feel of backtracking. It was like, oh wow, you made it here, but now we need you to go pick up this other module, which is like almost two levels back. All right, so you got to take an elevator, go down, run across this level, take another elevator, go down, take another elevator, go up. You know, I mean, what the hell? And then once you get it, then you have to do all that shit to come back. Pain in the ass. We did a lot of that, but we got that one done. Finished season 2, episode 1 of Batman, the Telltales.
Oh, nice. I picked that game up too. I didn't get to play yet, though.
Yep, that was fun. You know, I like where they're going with it. It's good. What else? I had to put Ghost Recon Wildlands on hold. That grind, man. It's just so boring at this point because all I'm doing is just stealing trucks for resources. You know, just so I can level up all these skills, which I'm never going to use because I already finished the damn game. You know, and it's just a pain in the ass. And you know, it's funny. It's as if Ubisoft knew that I stopped, you know, because I got a notice like last week. It was like, hey, we're going to give you a bonus for 2 hours of double XP and resources. You know, I'm like, you know, they want me to jump back on to do this. But it's like, once that's it, then I'm done. And, you know, it's just, even now, well, I kept thinking about doing it. It's just a grind.
Double resources, well, I guess that's good.
Yeah, and it's for 2 hours. So it's like I have to make sure I have time of just 2 hours, you know, that I can just focus on it to try to get as much as I can from that, and maybe that'll be enough. But it just feels like forever. Because the thing, I think I told you, it's like if I steal a truck, that's great. It could have 5,000, but if it gets shot a few times, like, you know, the value starts going down. You'll see a meter, and then you get whatever's left, and then like, fuck, you know. So then I have to go and find the same type of truck somewhere else. And I have to drive around there because if I spawn to one of those spots, doesn't mean the truck is going to be there anymore. So it's one of those. But anyway, I'll see. And then the WWE 2K17 going for a different belt, which is another grind. And now I'm finally ranked number 1, so I can probably get that. But eventually I want to get into Horizon, get back into that. You know, I stopped playing early on. I mean, I think I'm a teenager now. Just did the first part where you're a teenager.
Okay. Damn, you're super early in that shit.
Yeah, and then the guy's up like on the cliff or something, you know, and you meet up with him, and I'm like, all right, I'll come back, you know. But then, of course, got to get ready. A buddy of mine bought me Destiny 2.
Oh, so, shit.
Yeah.
It begins again.
He's like, shall we play again?
Oh, the funny. He didn't even have it. He's not even gonna play it. But
was he fucking with you then?
No. It was a birthday gift. And he was like, "Oh, what do you want?" And I was like, "Well, it's what I'll get." And he just gave me money to put on the PSN thing. So we ordered that. Yeah, because that's coming out next month, September.
Yeah, September, that's right.
And that's the thing. And then FIFA's coming out that time too. But I think I'm not going to be a day one for the first time with FIFA.
Wow.
I'm playing this beta that they gave me, and I'm just not. It's great. It's fun. It's just more of the same. And I don't want to get too hooked on FIFA Ultimate Team again. You know, so I'll probably, since Destiny's out, I'll have more time to put into that. And that's a game that we could all play because it's co-op.
Uh-oh.
You know, and you like co-op. I mean, I remember when you were playing Destiny, you, me, the voice of God, and and Kai. Remember, we're running around, we're screaming. And what mission was that? It was like a disco tech or some club shit, remember? And those big guys were coming, and we kept running up and down the stairs and circling around them because they were too damn strong.
Yeah.
We were in that one room for almost an hour doing that.
Yeah, that shit took forever because those guys had like a million health, like points each, you know?
Yeah, that was a pain in the ass.
Oh, I remember that shit now, that fucking discotheque.
Yeah.
Man.
You know, and it's like all this loud music and those things were coming and we would have to run up and run down and circle around and get ammo and keep doing the thing over and over again.
Yo, did somebody try to
run? There's a discotheque in Destiny? Part. I thought you were talking about Bulletstorm.
Division.
Oh, okay. Division. I was going to say, I thought you were talking about Bulletstorm.
Then somebody try to ramble. It's like, yo, I'm going down there. They got fucked up real fast. Like, what are you doing? Stay behind the doors, motherfucker.
You know? Maybe. I think we had somebody jump in and jump out.
Yeah, that's what happened.
That was it. And then it was just us three. It was you, me, and Kai.
Yeah.
Then when we finished everything, it was also with your cousin.
Yeah.
We finally came back. But you see, but those type of things, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you could have played that whole shit by yourself. You know what I mean? We would never need it. But it's more fun when people can jump in that you know, and you could talk bullshit and play through it.
Yeah. No, I see the merits. It's just making the time and shit, you know, for people. You know, it can just be a pain in the ass.
Well, that's what we're going to come across with Destiny. I think that's what, because I was thinking about that too. I'm like, all right, now we got to figure out timing, but then, you know, certain people are probably going to level up faster. And then by the time I get home and get time to play, might be in an advanced mission or something. It's going to be tricky.
Yeah, it's always a bit of a pain in the ass. But yeah, that's crazy. Sorry, Destiny's less than a month away now.
Yeah.
That's fucking nuts, man.
It's crazy. It is your destiny.
You know, what's going on, Kratos? I see you in there, J-Dub. All right, man. So that's it for us.
Hey,
so
real quick.
Go ahead, brother.
I don't know if any of you guys had heard because it just came out the last couple of days, but Sonic Mania is bringing back competitive mode.
Oh, shit. Now, by back, what do you mean by back?
Top screen, bottom screen, kind of a horizontal split screen racing through stages.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. I think I vaguely remember that in the other older Sonic games.
Sonic 2, man.
Yeah, Sonic 2 had that. That's right. But I remember being competitive. It was just you two playing the level at the same time, you know?
Well, kind of, yeah. Like, well, it's whoever gets to the end of the stage first wins.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Is it like a online leaderboard type of thing? Like, who's the fastest? Is shit like that?
You know, I'm not sure yet. I read it. I'm assuming it's going to be online through friends. I don't know if it'll have random matchmaking.
Man, Sonic Mania. I can't fucking wait, man.
Just one more reason to feel good about it.
You know, I can't wait. All right, man. So we're out of here, man. Thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud. Oh, we're going to see what happens with SoundCloud, by the way. It may not exist tomorrow.
Uh-oh, what's going on?
What the fuck is going on?
My throat.
Yo, yeah, that's what you're
I'm going back to the doctor. He keeps telling me that I have allergies.
Listen, man, if SoundCloud doesn't exist, just watch us on YouTube until we figure out that situation. iTunes, we don't know because it's all connected, you know? And obviously we're on YouTube. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Throwdown Show. Links for all that shit is down there, man. So once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
I'll see you later, guys.
Sonic Mania. Yeah. Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Later, people.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Adam Vale.
Watch Lucha Underground, because it might be coming to an end.
Oh, shit, just like SoundCloud.
There's a lot of guys leaving and shit.
Man, it's a roller coaster with fucking Lucha, isn't it, man?
Yeah, it is, man. It really is. I'm waiting for the documentary to come out about this shit.
Oh, the man. Rise and fall of Lucha Underground.
You know. All right, man. We'll see y'all next time. Later.
Later.
See everybody.